In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, and it's actually fairly nice out tonight, considering what we went through overnight. Rachel Keene with me as well.
Hey, you seeing a little blue.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I love the blue sky, and I realize how much I need the sunlight when it goes gray in Colorado, how much I
couldn't live in a state where it's gray all winter long.
I know. January and February are hard for me here, though.
I'm too used to living here my whole life.
I couldn't do
that.
No.
It would drive me crazy.
I need it.
Could you imagine being in, like, Alaska, for example, where they get, like, 4 hours, 5 hours of daylight a day, or Portland and Seattle this time of year where, you know, literally they can go for, you know, 45
yeah,
to 60
I
days
know.
With no sun, just gray.
I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said that she has a sun box. I don't know what that is.
A sun box?
I don't know. She said that, you know, to help her with the gray days. I'm like, what is a sun box?
What? You ever heard of that, Charlie?
I don't know.
Oh, Charlie says it simulates the frequency of sunlight.
Yeah. So, I didn't know about it until
I didn't either.
Okay.
Well, we in Colorado would never know that.
It helps your mood. Because I do need it.
Charlie grew up in an area where it was like this a little bit in the wintertime, where it was fairly gray, right? Ohio?
Ohio
can be that way. Yeah.
How many days of sunlight do we have? We have
300 plus.
300 plus.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
We're spoiled.
Yeah.
We really do have great weather. Even with what we had last night, you know, look at it now.
Oh, I know. It's gorgeous.
So we are very spoiled. All right. Impossible question of the day. This was yesterday's. 20%. And by the way, I think Andy got this one right again yesterday. Or no, I think it was Charlie. Sorry, Charlie got this one right yesterday. 20% of office workers have one of these in their desks. What is it? A toothbrush.
Really?
A toothbrush.
Interesting.
That was the answer.
I'm not. I would not be one of those people. I mean, I maybe mouthwash.
Yeah, I don't carry a toothbrush.
But I would feel weird if I was just like,
hey,
what's up?
I'm pretty particular, but I'm not that particular.
Scrubbing my teeth away in the bathroom. In front
you know,
of
my
people.
Problem is
what?
I don't want any water coming out of any sink in any bathroom that I don't know. I'm really weird that way.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have dirty teeth than have that.
Yeah.
I'll wash my hands, but I'm not sucking that water down.
Yeah, especially after you like find out where a lot of the water comes from.
If you look up inside the nozzle of most
yeah.
you know, faucets, you'd be you wouldn't want to take anything out of it. I'm dead serious. By the way, really quick, for those of you that are around the office, and Charlie and I determined this one day, do you know where the dirtiest place in most, you know, office little kitchenette things is?
The sink.
Nope.
The handle on the refrigerator.
Close.
Okay. Handle on the microwave.
The water dispenser on the refrigerator is got to be the dirtiest. Charlie and I did a blue light thing one day where we were running around looking at stuff. That thing is disgusting.
Ew.
Yes. Think about it. I mean, water just kind of, unless somebody goes up there and cleans it and sterilizes it occasionally,
cleaned.
It just sits there and just gets all nasty.
Gross.
I thought it would be the sink and all those places too, but no, it's the up inside where the water comes out.
And it's never, like, you know, because you need to dry stuff out, so it's probably all...
It's always moisture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Charlie said you poke your bottle and everything up in there and, you know.
Oh, and then somebody else's bottle that with their mouth all over it.
Yeah.
Ew, no. I never thought of it that way.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 52% of us would never put this on our pizza. What is it? Hint, generally thought of as a vegetable, but it's actually a fruit and even a berry, but it's not obvious. Okay, so what's a vegetable that's actually a fruit? We think of it as a vegetable, but it's actually a fruit and even a berry.
Tomato.
Tomato.
I know that.
But why would half not put a tomato on a pizza?
I don't know. I like tomatoes.
I do too. I would be great on a pizza.
I'm a tomato person. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you get tomato sauce on the pizza, so why would you not put tomatoes on with it?
Some people are weird like that, though. Like, they disassociate pizza sauce with tomatoes.
One thing I will not put on a pizza ever that I just don't like, and I love the taste separate, but not on a pizza. But these people that love pineapple pizzas, it's like, that's Charlie. He loves that. It's like, yeah. I know.
I'm pretty, like, I'll eat pretty much anything.
Me too. That's my problem.
Would that...
It's my issue.
I am not a picky eater.
Me neither.
Like, at all. I'm like, oh, let's try it.
Yeah.
That sounds good. I don't think I would do the anchovies on
I like those.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Little sardines, whatever. Yeah, they're okay.
Some people, that's not something I do.
I mean, is it something I'm going to go out and pick? No, but I like anchovies on a nice Caesar salad. That I do love.
Okay.
Yeah, I love anchovies, actually. In that realm, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, just to eat them plain, probably not. I'd rather have something else with it instead.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
I don't even know about this one. I would say tomatoes, but then...
Yep. I don't either.
What else is a fruit that you think is a vegetable? What else, is there something else?
Avocado.
Is that a vegetable?
No, it's a fruit.
It's a fruit.
People think of it as a vegetable, but it's a fruit.
Yeah, I know. I would think of it as a fruit because it comes on a fruit tree.
You'd be surprised how many think it's a veggie, though. Most people think an avocado
what
is a vegetable.
What is an olive, technically?
Ooh.
I don't even know what an olive... Like, I don't...
Oh, well, it's got to be a fruit because it has a seed inside of it.
Is it?
Fruits have seeds.
So maybe it's an olive.
You could be right. Or jalapenos, too,
Charlie. A jalapeno
is
a fruit?
Yeah, it's got seeds. Anything with a seed is a fruit.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that was the technical definition.
Yes, right, Charlie? Charlie says he doesn't know. Will you look that up, Charlie? I believe I've heard all the nutritional folks we've had on Wednesdays. I think that's the technical...
Is a seed.
Is it has a seed that makes it a fruit. Vegetables typically don't have a seed, other than cucumbers, I guess. But do they really have a seed? And are they considered a fruit? I don't know. That I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because they have seeds.
Yeah. But a strawberry, strawberries have seeds on the outside. They look tiny.
Right.
Okay. Blueberries?
Well, there's a little seed in those,
too. Are there really? I've never...
Yeah, they're just little. Hmm. Now, keep this in mind as well. Because of modern technology, GMO, and so on, there's a lot of things that are seedless that originally had seeds.
Watermelon.
One of those, and so on. So there's a lot of things we've changed where, you know, it may not have a seed in your world, but it technically did at one time.
That's kind of strange, isn't it? Yeah, like, sometimes this stuff weirds me out.
Yeah, and that's a big topic. In fact, we should talk about that one day because there's a lot of ins and outs of, and I hate to label everything that's been changed like that GMO because not everything like that is technically GMO. I mean, they've done, you know, grafting and things like that since the beginning of time.
Yep.
So, I mean, Scripture even talks about, you know, grafting. So that's how long that's been going on.
Okay.
So, you know, these crossbreeds and things like that, that stuff's not necessarily always a GMO.
Right.
Charlie, what'd you find out?
Oh, Charlie's on it. Fruits are seed-bearing from a flower.
Okay. Okay, so there you go.
Oh, yeah, tomato.
So that's why cucumber probably is still considered a vegetable.
So an olive would be a fruit then? No, because does it come from a flower?
Yeah, an olive tree.
An olive tree.
Sure, there's flowers that flower out and they blossom out, sure.
Wow, I never thought of that. It's got to be. My guess is an olive.
An almond would, it's a nut, so I don't know what that's considered. It's just a nut, I think.
Nuts are dicey, though. Like, sometimes you think something is a nut, and they're like, no, it's not a nut. Like, there's a lot of nut people out there that are very...
I think we're the nuts.
Possibly, but I don't know the details of the nut. There's like a whole nut
we learned world. Something this last Wednesday, by the way, Charlie, or either this Wednesday or last Wednesday. Most people don't eat enough nuts. We learned that there's huge health benefits to eating nuts, and a lot of people avoid them because of, you know, fat content and other things along those lines, but a lot of nuts have very great, you know, sort of medicinal purposes.
Right.
Yeah, medicinal type purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I probably should eat
so
more.
So most people don't eat enough nuts because we sort of steer away from them because we in our mind think they're bad.
Okay. And avocados, another good fat.
Oh, I love avocados. They're so good. So anyways. Okay. All right, we'll come right back, guys. Don't go anywhere. Answer that question, that last question, by the way, on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. We'll come back to the Darwin Award, Liberal Eye of the Week, which will tie into some other things we'll talk about today as well. We'll talk about China Joe.
Oh,
that's our
gosh.
Nickname for him because
China
basically
Joe.
He's a commie.
It's horrible. That CNN town hall John.
He's on the Chinese
it's
payroll.
Terrifying.
So those of you that don't believe me, those of you that are on the left that would love to fight with me on that, let me tell you what. He is on the Chinese payroll.
Yes.
Big time. So we'll talk about that as well. We've got a lot in store for you. Don't go anywhere. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt, by the way, is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get a big update on what's happening in the mortgage and just the housing world in general. In the meantime, anything you need from Kurt, call him 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right. By the way, a cucumber I found out is a fruit.
There you go.
So I didn't know that. I think the seed thing is really key
okay.
here. So anyways, a good shop is coming up next, folks. And we're talking about pizza and veggies and all of that. Some of you may have had a rough night or morning with an accident because there was a lot more snow that came down than most people predicted. And there wasn't a lot of plows out. And you could have easily had some sort of a bang up fender bender, whatever. If you need help getting the car fixed, go to a good shop. You can call them right now, 720-541-7697. You can also use the mobile estimate app and see, you know, if the damage, you know, what's going on, how that works, and so on. And most of all, don't let the insurance company tell you where to take the vehicle. You decide. So it's a good shop. Find the location near you at klzradio.com.
As modern vehicles become safer and more technologically complex, collision repairs also become more specialized. You need an auto body shop that looks to the future, investing in the tools and training they need to fix your vehicle properly. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop have earned OE certifications for brand names like Subaru, Ford, and many others, ensuring you get the parts and service recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. After a collision, you want to get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition, which means you want the original parts from the manufacturer, not aftermarket parts. Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to earn new OE certifications all the time, so they can have access to all of the databases and software that come directly from the manufacturer. Your insurance company does not recommend auto body shops based on their certifications. Take control of the quality by choosing a certified auto body shop. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes, your engineer. The Darwin Award winner, by the way.
Oh, gosh.
There's no way I could miss this one. And no, I'm not using the technical, you know, acronym term for this particular agency, but the Texas Power Grid Authority has to win the Darwin Award for the week with the debacle they've been through in Texas this past week.
Such a hot mess.
Unbelievable.
Horrible.
Unbelievable. There is no excuse in the United States of America, in the great state of Texas, with their own power grid to be where they are right now. No excuse at all. You can tell me everything. You can tell me windmills froze. You can tell me gas wells froze because they don't take the moisture out of the gas itself. You can tell me every excuse under the sun, and none of them, in my opinion, are adequate for the disaster they have in Texas. And I would have thought there was a lot smarter people living down there than there actually is.
Yeah.
So they win the Darwin Award hands down.
Shocking.
No one else is that dumb this week.
Well, did you know, but AOC might be competing. She said it's because of the lack of their embrace of the new Green Deal.
Oh, really?
That they're suffering like they are.
Well, that's probably a second runner-up for Darwin Award winner.
I couldn't even. Which I was like, okay.
Does she not understand how when
no.
the solar panels are covered with snow and the windmills are frozen, they don't contribute?
No, I know.
So it's the lack of that, which so as it is, Texas has 25% of that power in the grid.
Right.
So she's saying if there had been more of that,
more,
they would have been better
more.
Shape.
Yes.
Oh, shows you how dumb she is.
She wants more. She needs more green energy. I saw a fascinating picture. It kind of went viral, and then the fact checkers came after me because they're like, this actually didn't technically happen in Texas. It doesn't matter if it happened in Texas or not. It's a picture of a helicopter.
Right.
Squirt like
defrosting a windmill.
Defrosting a windmill on there. It's like use it. Okay, it's a giant helicopter using fossil fuel to then use
which comes from oil.
Is a fossil fuel.
What comes from oil? Yeah, so yes.
To help the wind turbine that actually will not biodegrade. I mean, it takes like probably thousands of years for this thing to even break down, and it's made of fossil fuels.
Right. Fiberglass and resins. So yes.
Yeah. So it's just like I don't know. I don't know what's happened. John, I feel like no one's thinking anymore.
No, they're not.
It's nuts.
Steve in the Springs, what's going on, sir?
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
On the Texas Power Grid, as you have remarked, in which most people are not, about 33% of the Texas Power Grid is wind.
Right.
Driven.
Wow.
Right.
Those are just big propellers. And, you know, it did take long since the Wright brothers started flying. If you have freezing rain, those things are going to freeze up.
Right.
And as I think you also just got done mentioning, it is so absurd to have a bunch of $1,500, $2,000 helicopters out there dropping aircraft de-icing fluid,
right.
Which, by the way, at an airport, you have to contain.
Yeah, I was just going to say, dropping on the ground is not super environmental. I said this earlier in the week, and I mean this, guys, everybody listening, I said this during the week. If any auto shop in this town did with their used antifreeze what was happening at a windmill, they'd be in jail.
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean that sincerely.
Yeah.
They'd be in jail.
It's beyond belief. Well, I can't believe, you know, Texas is a pretty red state.
Yeah.
And somehow the powers that be in Austin managed to issue enough tax credits, et cetera.
Yep. Key word there, Austin.
A third of the grid on wind.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
There's your... There's your key.
Yeah.
Austin being, you know, Boulder in Texas, essentially, is what it is. And, of course, that's where the capital is as well. So, yeah, that was a really, I think, a dumb move. I know the governor is saying that he wants a review of all that now and you want to know what's going on down the road. I guess the question I would have had for the governor, and not that I'm ditzing the guy, but I'll call it out where it's due. You just now figuring this out? Where have you been?
Anytime anything happens, you got a governor going, I need an investigative commission now.
Oh, yeah. Form an investigative commission.
Here's a question I have for you. Why, as the governor, I mean, I did this with my guys, oh, gosh, a month ago. So I was reading all the news, and I even talked about it here on air, where, you know, the weather up at the polar cap, North Pole, had split off. And anytime that happens, we're liable to get a lot of deep trough, cold, you know, Arctic
sure.
air that,
right.
that dips down, and we get all this super cold weather. And so I talked to my guys about it. Hey, are we ready? Do we have everything in place? If this does happen and we get below zero, do we have enough, additive for all of our diesel trucks, so on and so forth? And, you know, we were all good. So, you know, made sure all that was going on. And I did that roughly at least 3 weeks ago. So the question I would have for the governor of Texas, why did you not ask that same question? I did. Why didn't he?
Yeah.
And I'm no smarter than these guys are, guys. So all I'm saying is, why didn't they ask these questions?
Yeah.
Exactly. My question is, why don't these politicians have any inquisitive, realistic thought process going on? Say, hey, we cannot have 33% of the grid dependent on wind turbines that are going to fail in an ice storm.
Right.
By the way. This is not the first time they've had freezing rain and ice storms.
No, thank you for mentioning that. I mean that. I appreciate you saying that because they act like this never happens in Texas. But the reality is, you know, Dallas can get super cold. I've seen it snow in Houston before. Mm-hmm. So the reality is, this is not like a one-off event.
Yeah, it does get cold.
As far as how cold it's getting, it's been, I think this is the coldest since 1946 or something along those lines. But you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
Quit believing in this pipe dream of global warming, and maybe you'll have some realization it can still get cold there.
Yeah. They've
had freezing rain and ice storms since the Alamo, for Pete's sake.
Right.
Let's get it together, folks.
Exactly.
Texas or Alaska?
Relatives included. I mean, they're really hurting down there. Besides the power outages, not being able to stay warm, friends in San Antonio are jumping in their cars and turning the heat on because they can't keep the house warm. And now we've got the water issue.
Right.
They got contaminated water. It is just beyond belief.
It's a disaster. Spartacus, thanks. No, I appreciate it. Rachel, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just saying, is it Texas or Alaska? I mean, which one's the most oil rich? Either, it doesn't really matter.
Well, 25% of, or about 30% of, and this is going to affect oil prices here in the not too distant future, but about 25% of our daily production of oil in the country comes from Texas.
Okay. So here we have like an oil rich state having an energy crisis. Like it's just the... It's just the most bizarre. Like, if you're thinking, if you have any logic, any common sense, you're like, this shouldn't happen, and let's investigate why.
Well, and the other thing that they did, which, again, there's going to be lots of things that come out, but one of the things that's coming out right now that we know is, you know, I think this is a huge mistake. Texas doesn't dry their natural gas like we in Colorado or Wyoming or other cold states do. In other words, natural gas automatically has a certain amount of moisture in the gas. It's one of those things when it comes out of the ground, there's moisture in it.
Right.
Well, we dry that, take the moisture out so that as it flows down pipelines, there's no chance of it freezing and having any issues. They don't do that in Texas. So yes, they had some gas lines and things like that actually freeze as well. So you combine that on top of what happened with the windmills, on top of a lot of other bad decisions, and it was just a snowball effect.
Storm.
And I'm thinking to myself, are these people really that dumb?
Do they have a reasoning on why they don't dry?
Well, my number one answer would be it's a cost issue.
Okay.
That costs money to do that. And they're going to save money. And I guess in their defense, if you don't have this type of a freezing event all that often, do you want to spend all the money on those dryers and the other things you need to do and effectively, you know, raise the price of gas in doing so? Well, I guess when you don't have it, isn't it better to have it than not?
Wait, or couldn't you seasonally do it? Like January, February,
I'm guessing once you put
March,
a dryer on it, the dryer's on it. I'm guessing
on.
It's,
okay.
It's just going to be on. Now, I said this to one of my clients earlier today, and this is very true. And this is something I think Texas is learning as we speak, and I'm going to share this with a lot of my clients. And by the way, all of you listening, I hope you understand this as well. Reliability costs money, folks. If you want something very reliable, whether that's
you're
your car,
it.
Whether it's your house, whether it's the infrastructure in your city, guess what? That comes with a price tag. There is no such thing as reliability without a cost. Texas went the cheap route.
Right.
And it's now hurting them. And in a way, I feel sorry. In another way, I don't. David and Berthoud, you're up.
Hey, guys. I wanted to make a quick comment. I recently read, I can't remember the article to point to it, but because of COVID, this is where COVID got credit, all the amount of traffic roads, I mean, the amount of cars being driven worldwide had dropped.
Right.
People weren't going anywhere. And it contributed to the lack of particle pollutants going into the air. So we got cooler.
Wow.
The planet actually cooled off a little bit. And I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, you know what?
David,
if you have that, send it to me. I'd love to read that. I'm learning there. I have not seen that one. Doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't, because we felt the air, I can't even talk now. Let me start that again. When we get pollutants, it filters and we get hot.
Right.
So. And L.A. is a great example. Back in the 60s, 70s, it would be hotter than all blazes because the layers.
Dave, so for everybody listening, let me explain how that works as well. So a lot of you that maybe don't understand this, but a lot of us that have hunted and fished over the years and so on, we all know that, believe it or not, when it gets really cold outside, if you end up with some cloud cover, you actually are warmer than you are without the cloud cover because of the effect David is talking about. Well, guess what? Pollutants do exactly the same thing.
Right.
So when you clear all of that out, so like a crystal clear Colorado day when there's nothing in the sky at all, no clouds or anything, it will actually be colder than on days where we have cloud cover.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about, right, David?
Yeah, that's the principle involved. And as you said, any of us that hunted, fished, I mean, any of the sports outside, camping alone, you know what to expect based on the cloud cover or no cloud cover.
Yeah, if you look up at night, I don't care if it's in the middle of summer in the mountains, if you look up at night and it's a crystal clear night,
it's
you
cold.
Might as well plan on a colder night than if there's a bunch of cloud cover.
Yes.
That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Totally. The other fact, not fact, but you were talking about all the, I think,
we lost you, David. Come on back.
Business.
You there? Hey, we lost you for a second. Come say that again, David. David, we lost you. Say that one more time.
Oh, shoot. Okay, in Texas,
there we go.
One of the high profile businessmen helped propel them into the wind turbine. And for the life of me, it's not Bum Bryant. I cannot remember who it is.
I read
right
that.
Now.
No, I read that as well. I'll look it up.
Yes.
You are correct. I will look that up. You're right. It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it right now.
He pushed the envelope to get them to, you know, and granted, he probably took advantage of the tax credits too. We know he did. He had to.
Right.
The promotion.
But what, I mean, if you're an environmentalist.
T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah, but and then we hear about all the birds that are killed by these wind turbines too.
Well, and that's the other thing you brought up about the glycol dropping it on those wind turbines.
Yeah.
Wind turbines have the highest, release of, they're infallible against killing rare birds, all these things. They're exempt.
Right.
And you're like, and John, you said it, the rest of us would be drawn and quartered for that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Any of my auto shops that I have, or anybody that's even involved with us here, you know, Extreme or Geno's, if either one of those guys was taking antifreeze out, a 55-gallon drum or more, which, by the way, is far less than what's been dropped on these windmills, I'll have you all know, if they were to take a 55-gallon drum, go out there in the parking lot and dump it over, they'd all be in jail.
Yeah.
Literally.
And totally. And so, anyway, I appreciate you educating us further and the conversation.
I appreciate it. No, David, thank you very much. And, folks, all I'm going to say, and I'll tell AOC the same thing, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because there's always a cause and effect to this stuff, folks.
But, John, what people don't understand is, like, I was just looking at all the things that are made of fossil fuels.
Oh.
Like plastic, asphalt,
hundreds.
Rubber. Furniture, paints, surfboards, carpet, boats,
clothing.
Sweaters, clothing, bicycles, tires, motorcycle helmets, toothpaste, lotion, deodorants, crayons, dentures.
We can't live without it,
refrigerators,
Rachel.
Medicine, solar panels. Solar panels are made of fossil fuel. Like, I don't think the people that are out there like banging the drum for this stuff understand that means we're just like walking around naked with nothing. There's nothing left.
I have an explanation for that when we come back.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, I'll come back and tell you my explanation. Michael Bailey, Law, Mobile Estate Planning. I talked to Michael quite a bit yesterday. We had him on air. I actually filled in for him on his show as well. I had a great time. If you want to make sure your estate's in order, which you need to do today, please give Michael a call, 720-394-6887.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, those who prepare shall not fear. KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
Register now for a free workshop with KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey. Thursday, February 18th at 6:30 p.m., dinner included. Reserve your seat at klzradio.com/estate.
All right, folks, Barber's Foods, if you really want that farm-to-table experience, which I know a lot of folks are looking for, and we use that term rather loosely, actually, because there's a lot of folks out there that will tell you their product, their meat, whatever, is farm-to-table when in actuality, they have no idea. Barber's Foods, though, it literally is farm to table. They know exactly the farm the animal is raised on from the time it's a baby to where it's actually then harvested. They know all of it all the way through, including who's doing the processing. So get your meat today at, as far as I'm concerned, the best place in town. That's Barber's Foods. That's with an S, by the way, barbersfoods.com.
To combat food inflation, Barber's Foods is offering great deals to help fill your freezer. Prices for soybeans and corn are up, and most farm animals are fed on corn and soy. So it's costing more to feed animals. That's why meat prices will be going up this year everywhere, an estimated 10 to 25%. To save money on high-quality meats, head over to barbersfoods.com and click on the Fill My Freezer page to see all of their specials. Colorado-produced ground beef in one-pound user-friendly packages, only $2.99 per pound. Pittman Farms boneless, skinless, air-chilled chicken breasts in small, easy-to-use packs for only $5.99 per pound. Barber's Foods knows the families that raise and process the meats they sell, so whether it's Pittman Farms air-chilled chicken, the Beeler family Duroc non-GMO pork, Colorado-grown beef, or any of the other meats they sell, they know that the animals were raised right and cared for humanely. Barber'sFoods.com, Colorado native-owned since 1949.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Compassionate student loan forgiveness? Big government and big education like each other. The price for college rose significantly when the government got involved in the student loan business. Kids were and are encouraged to incur significant debt to get an education. Kim Munson here. Friday, author and millennial Alan Thomas will be in studio to talk about compassionate solutions to student loan debt. Plus, Casper Stockham shares why he should be the next Colorado State GOP chair. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at kimmunson.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Real quick before I take Bill, Steve, hang tight as well, Steve House. So to answer your question from the last segment about, yes, you know, all of them, are they really clueless and do they want us to just go back to living in the dark ages?
I guess.
They look at people as a scourge to the earth. So frankly, if we all went away, they wouldn't care. So there's your real answer.
So no real love for humanity then?
None.
Okay.
No, in fact, we are the scourge of the planet. Bill in Boulder, you're there, sir.
Well, and to tie into that note, John, you know, I texted you this morning a story about Vestas, the Dutch wind energy company, consolidating their operations here in Colorado, laying off a bunch of people in Brighton and Pueblo. And, you know, we go back a couple weeks to John Kerry advising all the laid off Keystone XL pipeline workers to just go get a job in the renewable energy industry. Well, those jobs are going away, too.
Yeah.
So back to your point about compassion for these people. So, you know, it's... And then, you know, what's happened here in Texas and kind of the shortcomings of just renewable energy, you know, the utility scale being revealed to us, you know, it's not viable like they're thinking that it's supposed to be viable. So,
right,
you know, they're taking the viable solution.
Yep.
They're putting it on the back burner.
Yep.
The virtue signal.
Yep.
And,
you're right.
You know, they have no solutions, but I'll keep it short.
No, you're correct. No, Bill, I appreciate it. You're correct. You're exactly, yeah, you're 100% correct. Steve House, welcome, sir. How are you today?
Good. Trying to figure out who the scourge of humanity is that you were referring to. Are we talking about Democrats or something else?
Mankind in general to the liberals.
They hate humans.
Well, and you know, guys, I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. I mean, I really mean that. I think if you look at a lot of, you know, liberals and policies and how they view the environment and the fact that there's people in Texas right now that are literally starving to death, there's 20 plus dead already, you know, really to the average liberal, Steve, despite what they may say about caring for humanity, the reality is they look at humanity as a scourge and they could care less if they all died.
Hmm. The only thing I would say, and this is just based on a lot of recent experiences, I don't think that's the average liberal. I think it's the edge liberal. You know,
could
the 10% that's way out loud.
No, I mean, that's the AOC
fringe.
And that's the AOC and Bernie Sanders party of the Democrats.
The left-wing fringe.
Yeah, I know. We were having this debate the other day about, you know, HR1, right? Everybody's talking about this HR1 bill, which is absolutely a nightmare. And the topic of minimum wage came up and said, well, you know, they want to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in HR1 across the country. And they're like, why $15? Why not $50?
Yeah, why not 100?
If you're gonna do a minimum wage, Yeah, I mean, $15 an hour is basically $31,200 a year in income.
Yeah.
That's poverty, just above poverty. I mean, right. Why would you do 15? You know, if you start looking at some of these policies, you're like, what's the logic in it? Mm-hmm. Is it just because you want to improve and show you improved? You want to double their wage? But if it doesn't meet the criteria, why do it?
Because I think this is my view of it, Steve. I think at the end of the day, again, we kind of have to circle back to what I just said a moment ago. Really, at the end of the day, they, in my opinion, they don't really care about lifting anybody up out of poverty at all. This is nothing more than literally kind of paying off their union cronies, because automatically union contracts go up to whatever that minimum wage is. So there's an automatic increase for all those folks. And of course, then dues go up and the unions make more money. And they think as a government agency that they collect more taxes when they have a $15 an hour minimum wage. But the reality, Steve, is we all know that those are big pipe dreams. Mm-hmm. None of that really comes true. The only thing that really does happen is, yes, the union's pockets get padded. That is a definite that happens when you raise minimum wage.
And prices go up.
And all prices go up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, everything rises.
Well,
So you just said something really important, John, which is if you ask the question, why 15? Why not 25 or 30 or 50 or 100? You know, you can come right down to, well, you know, if we go from 750 to 28, now you're talking about union wages multiplying by 300%. You know, no one can handle that, right? I mean, if you really ask the question, I think you'd find out what the real reasons for some of these policies are, but we just don't ask.
Right.
So true.
We just sit there and think, $15 an hour is bad. It's bad, right? We all know it's bad, but why is it even 15 as an option?
And yeah,
we got to
dig deeper.
Because
my gut feeling is because that's been talked about so much in the public eye, and I'm guessing that the unions had a lot to do with sort of force feeding that. And my guess is, and I'm not a statistician in this area, but my guess is, Steve, that somebody has gone out, you know, done enough work on the data end of things to know that's the pain point of the populace and what they will actually put up with. So that's the number they're going with. It has nothing, absolutely zero, to do with how much somebody actually would earn. It's just they know that's the pain point Americans will put up with.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, go ask the people who want $15 an hour that are not politicians. You know, I've had this conversation just earlier today about, you know, why do you want $15 an hour? And you ask the question, well, you know, right now that's a living wage. I said, not that I'm aware of.
No.
It doesn't turn out to be much of a living wage.
And the answer that I always have back to those folks that say, well, you know, I want a living wage. And my answer back as an employer would be, then go make yourself more valuable so that you can make as much money as you want. And first of all, define living wage for me, because my living wage is probably a lot different than what Rachel's living wage is, which is different than Charlie's living wage, which, Steve, is different than your living wage. So which living wage are we really talking about here? And if you really want to make more money in life, make yourself more valuable. It's that simple. There's no rocket science here.
Right. Well,
by the way, in comparison to those four people, we want to be talking John Rush living wage versus Charlie, Rachel, or me.
Right.
I mean, that's where we want to go.
But I was raised like you work your way up.
Yes.
Like you don't.
These
just,
are
you
not
don't just
meant
get,
to be
you,
careers.
Right. You don't just get a job and then just stay at that level. You're always striving to get ahead, always striving to be better, to get the promotion, to work your way to the top. Like that's what I thought in my head, and I was raised to think that way. You always go for more, always challenge yourself
yes.
and strive
yes.
to the top.
And by the way, I think as a country, Steve, this is one, and Rachel, this is one of the things we've lost in our education system, is literally teaching what Rachel was taught, what my dad taught me, Steve, what you were taught, Charlie, what he was taught. I mean, I think where I'm going with this is we've somehow lost that. We just think that you go to work, you get a job, you make X amount of money, and it's supposed to provide you with this quote-unquote living wage, even though you may be dumb as a rock and worth nothing to the employer that you're working for. So tell me how you can make any kind of a wage when you're not willing to go out and do the extra.
Yeah.
I go back to, Amy, Rachel, you learned it from a guy that I have a lot of confidence in.
Yeah.
John, you went to school. I went to school. I think part of the problem is, and I talked to a family friend just recently who's been in the same sort of job for a long time, and I said, you know, are you okay with it? She goes, no, because I only make, you know, like $19 an hour. And
yeah.
I said, what do you want to make? And she said 40. And I said, how are you going to get to 40? She goes, well, I'm just hoping that the company will, you know, continue to give me raises.
Wrong answer.
A long way from 20 to 40. I said, you have to figure out a way to add value to get promoted to
right.
do something different. You're not going to get from 20 to 40
right.
based on time. It just isn't going to work.
No, my answer right away would have been, you know, wrong answer. And again, as an employer, I can tell everyone listening this. If you work for someone else and you're frustrated with the amount of money that you make, then figure out how you yourself can make yourself more valuable to that company. And if that's a dead end and they're not going to, then I suggest go find another job.
Well, I think we've lost goal setting. I think we've lost, like, hey, this is where I want to be, and then these are the steps I'm going to take to get to that goal. And then once you get to that goal, these are my new goals, and these are the steps I'm going to take to get to this goal. Like, for some reason, I don't know what happened. It's just like...
You want to know why?
Just suddenly, you know, this is my job. I'm staying here, and I'm just going to hope that I somehow make more money without setting any goals to get to that.
It's because we've gone from the country that was the land of opportunity to now we're the land of mediocrity. That's what's happened to the United States of America.
I think a sense of entitlement. Mediocrity. Is, yeah, you know, it's you like just, you owe me this.
That's right. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, it's if everybody gets a trophy, no matter who wins and loses, then you don't have incentive.
Yeah, that's where.
And you know, there's so many other ways that you know we need to incentivize people to do better. Some of it's by example, right? I mean. You know, there's some places, you know, Ward 1 in Aurora, it's a project I'm working on right now. You know, if you go into Ward 1 in Aurora and you talk to a young person, they don't know anybody who makes a good living.
Right.
And so when you get into those situations and no one makes a good living, then what do you do with that, right? I mean, you just don't have anybody that, you know, you can count on or you can emulate or you can talk to educate you about, you know, what a good living is because they don't even know.
Well, good role models, though. I think that we look at like basketball players that just suddenly hit, you know, they've got this supernatural talent that they're just, so we set these role models, or they can sing really good or do whatever instead of, you know, the businessman that started with nothing.
Because we vilify the businessman in this country. We don't look at them the same way.
But those are the people that have taken the steps to get to achieve to the goal, to the next goal, to the next goal. But, you
know, Andy and I were talking about this the other day, though, guys. Look at what Hollywood's done with most businesses and business people, and it's rare to find any kind of a Hollywood movie, TV show, anything along those lines where a business guy isn't vilified.
Yeah.
90% of, you know, and plus of what goes on in movies is every business guy is a villain, right?
Yeah.
So you know, if you're a kid growing up, why would you want to be a business guy?
Right. You're the bad guy.
Part of it, not only is the business guy a villain, but the children of the business guy are villains because they got it from him.
Right.
Oh, right.
And, you know, it's old money or it's legacy money. And, you know, that form of envy or jealousy in the world doesn't serve anybody.
No.
Because the person who doesn't have the money isn't going to get it just by being upset that somebody else has it. We've got to work through that.
No, in fact, Steve, I will say that it's the opposite. It will actually, and there's been studies that have shown this, that hatred, that bitterness, that angst will actually take you backwards, not propel you into the business world and making more money. It will actually be, it's a detriment. It's a scourge.
Right. I actually just spoke about this today on my vlog. It, bitterness and offense and all of that, that actually hurts you more than the person
Which,
that
why do you think the other side perpetuates that?
Right. To hold you back,
to keep you down. Thank you.
Right.
Well, if you think about it, the strategy that they have is fairly simple, right? Identify a problem that you have, find someone to blame for it, and then create the perspective that you're the only one that can fix it.
That's right.
Right.
And if you do all that, you get elected a lot.
That's right.
Yeah. It's terrible, actually.
It is, actually. It's
really sick and twisted.
It's actually preying on people is what it is. Yeah.
That's
you're
right.
sick. In my opinion, you're sick and twisted as a politician
sick
if you
and
do
twisted.
That. So. Steve, as always, you bring a lot of common sense. I appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, guys.
You bet, man.
Good
take care.
To talk to you, as always.
I appreciate it very much. Have a great evening and afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. Franktown Firearms is next. Hey, there may be some changes coming when it comes to our Second Amendment. Lots of talk. Not sure exactly where it's going to end up. But I will tell you right now, you can buy a gun. You can pretty much buy any gun you want that, of course, legal firearms, which... There's only a few that are not at this point. So, you know what? Go out and buy what you want. Go to Franktown Firearms, load up, gun up, do whatever you need to. Find them at klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Learn how to shoot with confidence at Franktown Firearms. Head trainer Karen Murray goes above and beyond Colorado state requirements in every course, from basic to advanced to tactical, providing practical training for real-world scenarios.
Although the state of Colorado does not require lane time for CCW courses, you will shoot on the range during every class at Franktown because Karen believes your defensive shooting skills require practice. Classes are always small enough that everyone gets the instruction they need. For both members and non-members, the price of your class includes gun rentals, and the team at Franktown Firearms always keeps ammo in stock for you to purchase. Bring your own gun or rent one for no extra charge so you can try before you buy. Members receive a discount on all classes. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. We talked to him just yesterday, by the way, and a reverse mortgage specialist. There's a lot of misconceptions on reverse mortgages. Tap into that equity you're sitting on and make your life easier, or do some other things with it, and Bruce can explain. Find him at klzradio.com or call 303-467-7821.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Jody said, called these folks up to see about getting some equipment to help with an off-site meeting. What a surprise. It is so rare these days when someone exceeds your every expectation, but BES sure did. While the item I needed wasn't something they normally deal in, they called around, found a solution, and then called me back. Then, when we were talking through the pricing, they said, you know what, pay it forward. We've got you on this one. If you are looking for a business that tries hard for their customers and still believes in old-fashioned business values, you needn't shop further. This is it. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Myself, Rachel Keene. Joe joining us now on the phone. Joe, welcome, sir.
Afternoon, Rachel and John. Hey, hey. just my thought on federal minimum wage. It needs to go away. It's a concept whose time has passed.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, agree. And by the way, much like mandatory unions in a lot of cases, which also could go away and not hurt
teachers
anything.
Teachers union? Can we talk about that? No.
Well, along the lines of unions, Joe, the one thing that does need outlawed, as far as I'm concerned, are any type of federal or state or city agency with unions, that those need done away with completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we have laws now that protect the individual. The unions were put in place to kind of do that before we had the laws protecting the individual.
To Joe's point, that's run its course.
Yeah.
That's run its course, too. But just getting back, even in Colorado, fine, if you want to have a state minimum wage, great, but what's appropriate in Denver or Boulder is totally inappropriate in Lamar or La Junta.
Or Montrose.
I've been down there. Or Montrose. I mean, well, Montrose, you know, your mountain community, but La Junta and Lamar, I mean, they're almost kind of depressed down
right.
there.
Right. Hmm. Well, the reason I use Montrose is kind of the same deal. It's not Grand Junction. I mean, it's out of Grand Junction, so what wages you'd have in Grand Junction are even going to be different than Montrose. Just like here, Joe, the wages, and I knew this from having two locations, one in Boulder and one in Fort Collins, my folks in Boulder always made about 15 to 20% more than they did in Fort Collins because that's what it took to hire people there.
Yeah, so I think this whole thing about a federal minimum wage needs to disappear. And fine, if states wants to have it, and the states want to have it, great, but I think more relevant are city minimum. You know, Denver has a city minimum wage, which I think is great, which, by the way, is higher than the state minimum wage.
Yeah, and see, that's where you and I will have to disagree. I'm one that says you don't need it anywhere ever because the businesses in those areas already handle that anyways, Joe. And you and I both know that. So if you're in the city of Denver, the reality is because of the cost of living, all the things going on and so on, you're going to make more money there anyways than you are in, say, Berthoud, Colorado.
True.
It's just the way things are.
Yeah.
I've got pictures of help wanted signs in Castle Rock from last September. Help wanted $14 an hour to start.
Wow. That's right.
Start. Jeez. Which was $3 an hour above the state minimum wage.
Right.
So, right.
John, I agree with you philosophically, but at the same time, it's what's practical. I don't think you could ever abolish.
No, you're not.
Too much.
No, you're not. No. Unfortunately, we've ran this. This is one of those things where it's like a church committee. We've ran this thing so long now, you can never disband
it.
You can never get rid of it. It's
right.
There.
But at least I would say let's do away with the federal minimum wage and then give that power back to the states, and then, of course, the states can delegate it to the cities.
Which, by the way, they already kind of, I mean, let's face it, the feds are so low that, to your point, Joe, what you're saying already, for the most part, exists. So why do we need to dink with anything? Just leave it alone. Let it just sort of stay at that $7 an hour range forever, and effectively it goes away.
Yeah.
Well, except it just becomes, it becomes a battle cry, and it becomes a political football. That's why it needs to go away.
Oh, that's true. I won't argue there. No, you're correct
look
there.
Look at the evil Republicans. They won't. They haven't raised the minimum wage in 20 years. But
right.
they don't. They want people to starve. You need to take that political football off the table.
Agree. No, yeah. You are correct on that. And the plus side is, and anybody out there listening can see this, and it depends on what part of the country you live in. But on average, Joe, wages is what I was going to say, have risen over the past several years. So the reality is that minimum wage gap, it doesn't even make any difference anymore.
By the way, do you know what the average, USBLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, every month publishes their average you know what the average hourly wage in this country is as of last month? And this excludes managers, owners, executives, just people who are paid by the hour. You know what that average hourly wage is?
You know, I didn't look, but I'm guessing 19?
$29.
$29.
Wow.
Okay.
Just Google, during the break, Google BLS table B-3. BLS table B-3. And
I'm looking at it. Okay.
And I think it's up like almost $1 from last year.
That's good, by the way.
$28.43.
Yeah, you're right. $28.43.
Jeez.
$28.43. And what was it a year ago?
A year.
I don't see it.
Sorry.
$29.96. It was $28.43 a year ago.
Right. So I was correct. So it went from $28.43 to $29.96. It's up $1.50 in 12 months.
Wow.
Right.
Without the minimum wage budging an inch.
Huh.
And by the way, that was at a time, for everybody listening, for all of you lefties that are listening, that was also in a time where we actually had a little bit of deflation, not inflation.
Correct. Hmm. Anyway, I look at that table every single month, and that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it is.
That excludes managers, owners, and executives.
That's interesting.
Paid by the hour.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good stuff. Joe, as always, you always have great info. I appreciate it very much. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll take a quick break, come back, get things finished up. Purify Chevrolet is up next. And for a lot of you that even went through this last cold spell and what's been going on weather-wise and so on, you're thinking, yeah, maybe I should update my vehicle. Or you got some things this summer you want to do and it's not going to involve flying. It involves driving. Well, they got some great vehicles that fit that as well. Maybe even a full-size Chevy Suburban might be one of those items, by the way. Shop online, purifychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purifoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance, and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town, and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purifoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purifoy, and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purifoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, closing out what was like a lightning round here. Holy cow.
So fast.
This
nice.
Thing just buzzed by.
Like, I feel like it just...
We just started.
Yeah, we just started.
Now it's almost 4 o'clock.
What's going on?
I guess we had a lot to talk about.
I guess we did, and there's still so much more to talk about.
There is. Now, real quick, liberal eye of the week is really all of those on the left side of the aisle, liberal Facebook sites and so on, talking about the Republican senators that were spineless and not actually voting for Trump's impeachment. People, you are absolutely nut jobs. And the lie is,
gross.
We need to vote these guys out. Well, do you think if they would have voted one way or the other, you wouldn't still do the same thing? You big, fat, lying liberals.
Right.
That's the liberal lie of the week. We'll be back. Hour number two is next. If you're listening to the replay hour, thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Myself and Rachel will be back here in a moment. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.